Hello everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I'm Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast we will be looking at news from the week beginning 24th of June. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello Kate.
Hello Rod.
Our first story, Kate, is taken from the June column at Personnel Today and examines whether the current trend for charismatic, shoot-from-the-hip style political figures is exerting a damaging influence upon organisational leadership. Writer Adam McCulloch cites the recent CIPD report, Rotten Apples, Bad Barrels and Sticky Situations, which argues that there is now a concerted attempt to normalise, embed and enforce higher standards of ethics in business, and concludes that moral leadership and an ethical climate and social norms enhance ethical behaviour. McCulloch asks, could it be that our notions of leadership, we are prepared to tolerate braggarts, narcissists and charlatans for the sake of charisma, is outmoded? Kate, is this emphasis on charisma in leadership self-defeating or even dangerous?
Well, in some respects, it's obviously dangerous. If we look at what charisma means, which actually I think its roots are in a gifted person, then of course we want gifted leaders. And as our five dimensions of leadership indicate, that's multifaceted. And it's not just about having an attractive and charming personality that draws people to one, because I think that is where there is scope then for narcissists, for braggarts, for people who have got self-interest foremost in their minds to almost dupe people to follow them. And I think we've got to be better than that. And we know that this single heroic model of leadership doesn't suit modern organisations. It cannot deliver the sort of complex products and services that we need to deliver in global marketplaces. So we have to keep questioning ourselves about what is so seductive about them. And instead of thinking about how nice it is to talk to somebody or how good one feels in their presence, which is not unimportant, let's look at their record of results. What is it they actually deliver? Do they keep their promises? And do they make the organisations in which they work better as a result of their being there?
Thank you, Kate. Now, our second story concerns Boeing, who have been censured by the US Federal Aviation Administration for its failure to reveal that a cockpit-based safety indicator in the model had been malfunctioning. Boeing had failed to reveal the flaw for more than a year and have admitted that their communication to stakeholders and the public on the various factors behind the crashes was not consistent. And Allied Pilots Association spokesman Dennis Tager, himself a pilot, said that Boeing's garbled and evasive public response to the crashes had created a massive headwind to rebuilding trust. In a 16th of June Forbes interview, Tinder CMO Jenny Campbell notes that her firm is particularly motivated by trust and authenticity, and says, I think trust is a tricky thing. Once you break it with the consumer, it's hard to get it back. You see this now with Facebook anytime. They announce anything, whether it's good or bad or a bad thing, there's this increased scepticism wondering what their motive is and why they're doing something. Kate, how can leaders of firms that have lost trust amongst their stakeholders and customers work to rebuild it?
Jenny Campbell sums it up really well there, how fragile a thing trust is, and how our recently published research revealed how desperate people are to trust their leaders and managers, and when trust isn't there, how cynical and sceptical we are of every decision that's made, and how we're second-guessing and doubting what actually might be honest and straightforward decisions. But if the environment is one where you don't trust the people making the decisions, you don't trust anything they do. And whereas trust can be broken so easily with one wrong decision, it takes so much longer to build it up. I think we look at the Boeing story, that it's almost like, oh, what a tangled web we weave. If people were just honest when these disasters first happen and apologised immediately, instead of trying to do some sort of cover-up, that when it later comes out, it makes them look so much worse. And I think if there's a PR lesson in this for any organisation that finds that they have safety breaches, or they have been, as we've had with VW and recently with water, they've been massaging test results, then they should just admit it and say they're sorry and move on. And another, I think, lesson here is not to leave a gap. Be prompt with these announcements, because if you don't make them, of course, something will fill that vacuum, and that might be even worse than whatever it was that was wrong in the first place.
Thank you again, Kate. Now, our final story is taken from Insight, reporting on a new joint report from CBI and Oracle that finds many larger businesses are struggling to implement digital transformation in spite of the dangers to their long-term survival. According to the report, Bigger, Faster, Stronger, the improved adoption of technology coupled with better management practices could unlock productivity and wage growth. Research shows that more adoption coupled with better management practices could add £100 billion to the UK economy and cut income inequality by 5%. However, only 54% of UK companies believe disruptive technologies play an important role in their organisation, which is much lower than in countries such as France, Germany, India and Russia. Kate, how can leaders do more to digitally empower their workforce?
Well, I was so pleased when I heard about this, because at last, there's a recognition that technology doesn't fix anything by itself. It's the management of the implementation of that technology, the training of the people who are going to operate it, the way it changes the business, that's going to have the lasting effect. And so long we've considered technology a panacea, and if only we update our technology, somehow things are going to be better. And here we've seen that isn't the case. We need better management. We need management to make it work. And why in the UK are we not so worried about technology compared to other countries? I think that will depend from sector to sector as to how up to date they feel. The disruptive technologies that we hear so much about, I think to some extent are overhyped. I think if we talk to the manufacturing sector in the UK, and certainly I have spoken to people who run small engineering firms quite recently, they're saying that it's the high quality of what they are doing that there is a demand for throughout the world. And so we're not reliant on the Ubers and the BNB. The sorts of goods and services we provide have much more substance and depth and a history to them. Might be proved wrong, Rod, something might come and undo all of that. But at the moment, I'm thinking we're not worried because we are offering different goods and services.
Before we finish the podcast, are there any news and views that are specific to the Institute itself that you may wish to talk about?
Absolutely. I think we've had the best news ever, and I'm very pleased you asked about this. 2 weeks ago, not only was our chief exec, Phil James, talking at the MEMCOM conference, and I understand from people who were there that very, very well received, but in the evening, we were awarded the prize for the best CPD initiative. And this is a huge honour. Many different companies, 28 awards there were, and the fact that my leadership and the conversations that we offer have been recognised like that, well, you can imagine, as we all are, delighted and continue to be.
Well, thank you, Kate. That's an extremely positive note on which to end this week's podcast. And listeners can find further topical content in the news and views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories and the special story about the award won by the Institute.
Thanks, Rod.